Together, growing in faith, changing communities. My dear brothers and sisters, today I would like us to reflect on the letter of St. Paul to the Romans chapter 5, from verse 12 to verse 21. Brethren, as sin came into the world through one person, and death through sin, and so death spread to all people, because all people sinned. For if many died through one person's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one person, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. If because of one person trespass, death reigned through that one person, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one person, Jesus Christ. Then as one person's trespass led to the condemnation of all people, so one person's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and life for all people. For as by one person's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one person's obedience, many will be made righteous. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful exhortation from St. Paul. St. Paul takes us into the doctrine of original sin. And he argues that sin came into the world through one person. And that is obviously through Adam and Eve. And so if sin came through Adam, through one person, and all of us are affected by the sin of Adam and Eve, and all of us have become sinners, and that's the doctrine of original sin. So one person sinned and all of us became sinners. That's what St. Paul argues in Romans chapter 5. But then equally, he argues that one person who became obedient to God has saved all of us. And so in the letter to the Romans, Paul presents Jesus as the second Adam. Now, if he presents Jesus as the second Adam, is he bringing about the whole concept, or rather the redemption or the correction of what was lost in the Garden of Eden? Because if Jesus becomes the second Adam, then the whole blessings and fruits of creation are now restored in the person of Christ. And this becomes absolutely important for me in analyzing Paul's theology of redemption, that in Jesus Christ, all that which we had lost is redeemed. That in Jesus Christ, we are healed. In Jesus Christ, the broken find a home. In Jesus Christ, the poor find nourishment. In Jesus Christ, the weak are strengthened. In Jesus Christ, those who are alone find companionship. But we can bring this closer to our own life. One incident can ruin the whole household. One temper can destroy a person's life. One lie can have a ripple effect that destroys a person's reputation. So I am responsible of what I say, of what I do. But also, I have to be equally responsible, because what I do and say can and may affect those around me. But in Jesus Christ, we find the fulfillment of God's promises. That when justice demanded our lives, mercy in God saved us. Paul continues to argue that in one person's trespasses that led to condemnation for all, one person's act of righteousness can lead to acquittal and life for all. You have the ability to save your family. You have the ability to save your household. You have the ability to save the church. Go back to that beautiful dialogue that takes place between God and Abraham when Abraham hears that God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pleads with God because he knows that Lot is there. And he says, but Lord, will you destroy the good, the innocent, with the evil? And God says, I will not. And so Abraham starts to bargain with God. What about if you find 50, will you destroy? And God says, no. What about if you find 40, will you destroy? God says, no. What about if you get 30, 20, 10? And God continues to insist, I will not destroy the good with the bad. I will still give them the benefit of doubt. But there's something deeper than that. I will even save the evil because of the good. And so sometimes you may feel that your good works are unnoticed. But your good works are probably what is saving your family. Your charitable works, your kindness, is probably what is saving your family from final damnation. Then he says something absolutely amazing. Once man's disobedience has made all of us sinners, while the other man's obedience has made us righteous. There seems to me to be a choice. Do I listen and follow the disobedience of Adam, or do I listen and follow the obedience of second Adam in the person of Jesus Christ? Do I want to remain in darkness, or do I want to find light in God? Do I want to remain alone, or do I want to find comfort in God? Do I want to remain a victim of addictions, of my sinful nature, or do I want to be redeemed by God? He utters something equally important. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The more I realize that I'm a sinful person, the more I should realize the mercy of God in my life. Paul argues this beautifully. On my own, I cannot do it. But God is able to help me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can face every challenge. I can look into the eyes of tomorrow and not be fearful and say, I know that God holds tomorrow in the palm of his hands. It's very easy, dear brothers and sisters, to lose hope. It's very easy to give up, particularly when we look at our own sinfulness, our own weaknesses, our own flaws. But Paul wants to comfort us. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That grace will always supersede our sinful nature. That there is hope for each and every one of us. In death, grace also might reign through the righteousness to eternal life. That God will never abandon us, but God will always look for means to save us. May the Virgin Mother of God continue to be with us, to protect, to bless, and to guide us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May Almighty God be with you. May He protect you. May He bless you. May He guide you. Amen.